it's great to see how well it's been used over that time. Great to see how well the congregation has grown. But perhaps a day like this, a weekend like this, is an opportunity for us to stop and think about what sort of church we're building and how we can make it stronger. In the passage we're looking at today, Paul uses the image of a building to describe the church. In fact, he uses three different metaphors to describe what it takes to build a healthy church. So let's look at the passage. If you've got it open, that'd be great. Let's see what we can learn for ourselves. He begins by pointing out that no matter how mature they thought they were, their actions actually showed the opposite. They thought they were filled with the Spirit. So they thought they were mature Christians. What he sees is quarrelling and jealousy. It seems there were some who were claiming to be followers of Paul, some who were followers of Apollos, others followers of Peter, and the really spiritual ones were followers of Christ. It's interesting, isn't it? Christian leadership gurus go back a long way, don't they? So what's wrong with having your favourite leadership Christian? Well, the problem is that it misunderstands the nature of Christian leadership. And it misunderstands the source of growth in the church. Now, can I say I don't think we have this sort of problem here. We don't have factions wanting to put me up against George or Ivy or Kenji. But we do have something a bit like it. For example, I know there's a lot of concern about the fact that George and Ivy and I are all leaving around the same time. And you wonder what's going to happen then, as though everything depends on us. Some may even be thinking of leaving because we're not going to be here. Come and talk to me later. Because you see, as we see here, there's no reason to leave. In fact, there's every reason to stay, because it doesn't just depend on us. He says, what are Paul and Apollos? Mere servants. Yes, they came to believe through their ministry, just as some of you have. Some of you have grown through our ministry. But they and we are just servants working for the Master. He goes on to use two further metaphors, one from agriculture and one from architecture. First, he says, Paul and Apollos have been like servants in a garden or on a farm. One's planted, the other's watered. So which is the one that matters most? Well, in fact, neither. What matters is God who gives the growth. Yeah, it's true. Will a plant grow if it's not planted? No. Will it grow if no one waters it? No. What if the waterer waters the wrong piece of soil? Well, the seed won't grow then either. So both are vital tasks, but neither is more important than the other. They're in fact fellow servants of the one God, equal in importance and value. Now look around you today. Just have a look around. What do you see? I happen to see not just an odd bunch of people. There is a bit of that. But what you should see is a team of workers working together to build, to grow God's church. Who's the most important person here? Have a look around, see if you can work it out. Well, you don't know, do you? You see, we're equally important members of God's workforce. There are no part-time workers in the church. At least there shouldn't be. You can come and talk to me about that later too, if you like. But you see, some of us are the ones who plant the gospel through our words and actions. Some are those who make the last connection to someone before they become a Christian, when they finally take that step of faith in Jesus Christ. Others water the seed until it comes to fruition, or nurture the plant once it's sprung into life through our encouragement or our discipling in small groups, or one-to-one. But without all of those tasks being accomplished by you and me, the plant won't thrive. when George and Ivy and I go, that you'll still be there growing God's church together. Of course, your new vicar will assist you to do that when he comes or she comes. But you need to make sure that it continues to be a team effort, because this is your church, not just ours. In fact, it's more your church than ours. Leaders matter, but only ever as servants of God, never as gurus or figureheads. We need to treat them as leaders, to pay attention to what they say, be willing to follow them, but at the same time being careful that we don't raise them to a place above the community. Let's never forget that we're each fellow workers for God, serving together on God's project, the church. But if the church is like a garden needing to be planted and watered, it's also like a building. So he says, you're God's building. He's worked on setting the foundations in place, now someone else is building on them. So what does a building need if it's going to be well built? Now, I know a little bit about this because I've done this a couple of times, not from scratch, but renovating an existing house. So what do we need? Well, first we need a good architect to design the structure to make sure it'll be sound. We need to make sure the foundations are good and the design is solid. Then we need an expert builder and good tradespeople who'll follow the design correctly, who'll apply the appropriate skills to their task, who'll use the right tools and the right material to build a solid structure that won't fall down, that won't be blown over by those strong southerly winds we get from time to time, or that won't leak when we get heavy rain. Well, again, this is an analogy of the way the church is built up. Paul says he laid a foundation like an expert builder, and now someone else is building on it. The test of each successive builder will be whether they follow the original design or try to change it, whether they build on the foundation that's been established or try to change it. If you think about it, as far as the church is concerned, there's been lots of builders over the past 2,000 years, haven't there? And it's still being built. I'm reminded of the cathedral in Barcelona designed by Antonio Gaudí called the Temple de la Sagrada Familia. It was begun in 1883, but it was never finished because he died too soon. But after his death, the task of completing the building was started again. And it still continues today, looked after by an Australian architect. They say it might be finished by the late 20s. Well, that's not far off the picture of the church that we have here, is it? It's a building that continues to be constructed with each successive generation. And looking back, you can see how sometimes the walls have begun to sag or the roof had begun to leak because someone had tried to build on a different foundation and the structure had become a bit wonky. Or someone had said or done something, introduced some new principle that undermined the foundation. So what's the foundation that we should be building on? Some thought it was Paul and his preaching. Might be a bit of that around still today. Others thought it was the Jewish law. Still others thought it was the eloquence of Apollo and people like him. But no, there's only one foundation on which that building can be built with any confidence. And that's Jesus Christ the Lord. If you've got your Bible open, jump back to chapter 2, verse 5. What was the basis on which the church was established? It says there, your faith rests not on human wisdom, but on God's power. Whenever we hear someone promoting an idea or a theology that's based on human wisdom and philosophy, we should apply this test. Is it at its foundation centred on Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection? Is it coming to us with God's power or the power of public opinion? Is it based on some reinterpretation of scripture that gets rid of all the bits we don't like? Or more recently, based on some blend of Christianity and Eastern religions? Or has it been watered down by pressure from humanism and atheism of our world? Paul says, make sure you stick to the true foundation that God has given us. If we're to build on God's church, we need to build on the one foundation, Jesus Christ, seeking a unity that comes from that one foundation. Now notice that God understands the way humans behave and operate. So he offers us incentives for faithful service. We're told we'll each receive a reward for our effort. But our heavenly reward will be determined by the quality of our building here on earth. You see, there's a stern warning here for us. Be careful how you build, because it'll be tested by fire. And be careful, because the fire he's talking about may be sooner than you expect. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 talks about how our faith is already being tested through fire. So the building we're working on needs to be built of solid material. It's no use building a building out of light material, timber, light timber or cardboard, and then plastering over it so it looks solid, because that sort of building crumples at the first bit of pressure. And the church is under constant pressure, now as much as ever. So the question is, will it survive or will it crumble? Will what we build here stand up to those sorts of pressures? Well, what will determine that? Isn't it whether it's been built on the right foundation and with solid materials? And notice the warning gets even stronger. He says, if any should not just build badly but destroy part of God's church, they face the judgment of God. Why? Because we, that is the church, are God's temple. So those who by their false teaching lead people away from Christ are actually damaging not just a few individuals' faith, but the temple of God. So who do you belong to? Not Paul or Peter or Apollos. Not me or George or Ivy. In fact, we all belong to you because you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. Here is true wisdom. If you're on God's side, it doesn't matter who else is on your side or not. You're with the winning team. So first, get the foundations right, and the rest will follow naturally. So let's work together as servants, building on the one foundation, Jesus Christ. So we build up the church in unity according to God's wisdom, not human wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may this be a church that is built on only one foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen to life. Father, we pray that you would help us to be a church that works together to build a strong structure that will resist the temptations and the pressures that come from the outside world, that proclaims your gospel clearly and strongly to those around us. We pray that in Jesus' name.